This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Before we get back to the football for a second, the coolest story in sports right now to me is the Brooklyn Nets. What the Brooklyn Nets are doing is super cool. You have to remember the context of that. You know, they won again last night. Came from behind to beat the mighty Orlando Magic. You know, it's not last night's win that does it. It's the fact that they're something like 16-5 over their last chunk of games. That might not be exact. It's close. And they won at Houston with a comeback in overtime the game before that. They beat the Celtics the game before that. They win last night coming back. And this is a franchise, if you recall, you know, when it was formed to be a second team in New York, and they tried to be all splashy and catch the city by storm and drive their fancy new car out there to show off. Right, here's my new toy. Look at it. Let me show you. And that blew up in their face. Blew up in their face. Because when they got there, you know, it's hard to compete with the Knicks. The Knicks have been the team in New York. They are the team in New York. Despite, like, here's how dedicated the Knicks fan base is. The Knicks have been brutally awful, not just, like, on the court, but, like, off the court as well. Like, just dysfunction abound for darn near two decades now, and they're still the biggest thing. Still selling out games, still a hot ticket. They've won one playoff series since I graduated from high school. Now, the Nets tried to capitalize on that, give them some legitimate competition. Remember the billboard? They were putting, like, billboards up, you know, whatever it said at the time. At that point, Jay-Z was involved. He had all the concerts to open up Barclays. I was at one of them. Like, it was a bit, you know, the branding, the silver and black, the black and white. And then they made the trade. And that trade, one of the all-time disastrous trades. You know, I remember being on the radio at the time, and I said it's the kind of trade that will get you excited now. And could turn you into, you know, a good team now, but could also ruin your franchise. And that's exactly what happened. And unfortunately for them, the first part of it, the you know, could turn you into contenders now, never materialized either. They were all right. They were all right. And that's no shot at Kevin Garnett or Paul Pierce. Those guys are all-time great players. And they weren't even bad for Brooklyn. They were, you know, Garnett was especially past his prime. But he helped in specific ways. Paul Pierce was their best player, I think, for a while, even while being past his prime. But they had Darren Williams, and he's not the guy that you wanted to root for as the face of the franchise, and it just never worked out, and they traded all their draft picks, and then they cleaned house with management, bring in new management. And basically what Sean Marks, who's the GM now, was tasked with doing was emerging from a bomb shelter and rebuilding civilization. Because he had no assets, none. No picks. No talent to speak of on that team. And somehow, he's acquired some. Right? Somehow he's pieced it together because they've got some good players on that team. And D'Angelo Russell especially is flashing star potential that made him the pick he was. He's not a star by any means yet. He's not consistent enough. You know, he touches star level. He also plays below average at times. He's been on a real nice run of late. If he can get that, you know, floor raised a little bit, he'll be in business because he's electric off the dribble, pulling up for the jumper. That's for sure. He can handle with both hands. He's got good court vision. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie is a guy who's not afraid of the moment and came out of nowhere and turned himself into a nice NBA player. Jared Allen is a good young big. Get up and down the floor, can defend. Joe Harris is a really good shooter, but he's not just a shooter either. He can cut, he can finish. He's a good player. Kuruc is long, can really defend, can really, you know, provide energy, stuff like that. They got a lot of those guys. They got a lot of, like, and I'm not even mentioning Caris LeVert, who was their best player before he got hurt, and he's going to come back. They got a lot of core pieces. They could just use the piece, especially if Russell can touch that, you know, secondary star level. They could just use the piece. So, I mean, with all that said, if I was Kevin Durant, I'd think long and hard about the Brooklyn Nets in the offseason. And here's why. Some of that, what I just said, I think they're ready-made to drop a star in and compete. But I also think they check every box for KD that he needs. Because I think for him, the best thing he could do going forward is to do it as the guy. You know, I understand he wanted to get the rings because he feels like his career needed to be validated that way. Like, not for me. I feel no differently about him with two rings than I did with no rings. He was a great player before. He's a great player now. The rings didn't make me think he's any greater. You know, when he went to the Warriors, I said, okay, they're definitely going to win the championship. So I'm not going to, like, then give them extra credit for doing it. You know, nobody can send help. Nobody can game plan to stop just him because of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. So he's getting one-on-one coverage off a switch. Of course, you know, he's one of the dirtiest scorers who ever lived. Of course he's going to exploit that. So I think for him, the best thing he could do is do it as the guy. And if he has interest in New York, which we've heard, I don't know if that's true or not. If he has interest in New York, I think what the Nets offer is less pressure than the Knicks and way less dysfunction. Less pressure and without all the dysfunction that comes with that organization. Because as like the case for the Knicks is always, if you go to the Knicks and you win, you're a legend. There's no doubt. Like, whoever does that, the parade's going to be insane. The statue's going to erect itself. But I could never say with full confidence that I would recommend that to any team because of ownership and management. With Brooklyn, you know you have management in place. You know you have a coach now in Kenny Atkinson who looks like he certainly knows what he's doing. You have the core roster pieces where you put a Kevin Durant there, they're competing immediately. And he doesn't have to win. He doesn't have to win the championship there. He just needs to elevate a team like that to contending status. And I think the biggest hole in their roster is exactly where he plays. And then there's the idea of being a face of a franchise. You know, one of the things that's been a problem for Durant is that he's super famous, he's super well known, he's super respected as a player, but he's not loved. He's not loved. And there's plenty of places he could go and maybe he'd be loved. Again, the Knicks would be an example. But things don't go right there and all of a sudden there's a quick turn. OKC, obviously, he's not loved anymore. Even in Golden State, I wouldn't say he's loved. You know, Curry is loved there. Durant, you know, one of the things I think the reason he brought up that fanboy comment with LeBron is it probably bothers him. He doesn't have those. I think if he went and did it with a team like Brooklyn, he would. Because not only would he win over the people who got mad he went to Golden State by doing it in a different environment, a different situation, and raising a team that was on the cusp of, you know, competing for a championship. But there's no face of that franchise. Ever. You know, the Nets in their history have Jason Kidd and guys like that. But I sort of separate the New Jersey Nets from the Brooklyn Nets. I almost think of the Brooklyn Nets as a new franchise. You know, like, I don't think of the Oklahoma City Thunder as the Seattle Sonics. And besides, nobody really cared about the New Jersey Nets. People are just starting to care maybe for the first time about the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not saying, like, that would be part of why this is appealing. He can legitimize it. He can, you know, all that stuff they tried to do when they launched that franchise and backfired spectacularly, like actually competing in the market and making them a relevant team. Like, he could do that. And he could truly be the face of a franchise. Because they don't have one. He would be the face of that franchise. Full stop. No one else in the conversation. And I think he signs there this offseason. They've got just as good a chance as anybody to win the Eastern Conference next year. And the East is wide open right now. There's a lot of good teams. Philadelphia's really good. Toronto's really good. Boston should be really good. Milwaukee should be really good for a while. You give the Nets a superstar, they're right there with all those teams. So that's the case as to why, if I was in his shoes, and this would apply for some of the other guys too, but I think it's perfect for him. If I was in Kevin Durant's shoes, I'd think long and hard about the Brooklyn Nets. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. At Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Man, I got a cold. I'm trying to power through it. I stayed up late. Get up early. Happens often. Can't stop coughing. Hope I don't wind up in a coffin. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Let's go to Jared in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Jared, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So, yeah, I mean, that makes complete sense on paper. You know, Durant kind of maybe finishing off his last, you know, 6, 7, 8 years or whatever he has left in a city where he's going to be the face of the franchise and kind of bring it back to glory, which the Nets have never really been in glory, but bring the franchise to glory. But I just don't – it makes sense on paper, but I don't see Durant doing that. I just don't think he's that type of player anymore. You know, the dude is so – and I never met him. I'll probably never meet him. I'm only going off of the way he acts on, you know, through the internet and everything else and watching videos. But he's just the most self-conscious player in the world. And most people that are very self-conscious kind of don't put themselves out there to face failure because they're already so afraid to fail. And I just don't think that he is the type of player that would go to a franchise and say, like, I am the leader.
See,
and, you know, also, just one more thing. I know you're going to cut me off, but one more thing.
I'm not going to cut you off. We were going to go back and forth for a second.
Oh, okay, that's good. Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I was going to say to what you were saying, I don't usually just, like, cut people off. I understand where you're coming from. He seems like the most, insecure is a word you could apply to it. But that's why I would not recommend the Knicks for him. You know, like, I think that environment wouldn't work. But he also seems like he is craving the adulation. And I think that's why I make the case for the Nets. I think their culture there and the fact that they've never had a guy like that, they've never had those expectations of success. So it's not as if that pressure would be there to the same degree. So I don't think the pressure would be there. I think the fans would automatically come on board for him just choosing them. He would make them relevant, you know, in a way that they've never been relevant before. And I also think having gone and won those championships with Golden State, he wouldn't be playing with – whatever we all think of those rings, he wouldn't be playing with the pressure of having to win a ring either.
Yeah, and I understand that. And then, that makes complete sense. But, again, I just don't see his character, his personality being that type of person. I could be completely wrong. My second point very quickly is, you know, the other thing too is, like, I just don't see him as a leader. You know, the immaturity that he shows on and really off, especially off the court. Like, can you imagine MJ back in the day or Larry Bird or Magic or whatever, like, having these public feuds with fans, like, trying to defend themselves? You know, I just don't – he is not in my opinion, I don't know if he can ever get that leadership, you know, back. Like, you look at these, you look at LeBron James, you know, there's like a, there's a thing out, you know, people love to hate on LeBron James, but the dude that was given the world at 18 years old, and he has been a stand-up guy his entire life, you know, he just says he is a born leader. And I think Durant tries to be that guy, but I just don't see him being the leader of a team anymore.
You know, the one thing I'll defend him on as far as the comparisons to those guys, when you talk about the guys in the olden times, I say the olden times, you know, I watched those guys growing up. The difference in coverage and social media is so different that it's almost doesn't bear comparison. Like, you can't really compare. Like, I always say this about when we were talking LeBron Jordan. What was the chief critic of Michael Jordan? Who was the chief critic of Michael Jordan? A newspaper columnist? So Michael Jordan missed a shot at the end of the game, and some dude would write about it in the paper the next day. You have to wait a whole day, and then some dude would say, basically the main complaint about Jordan was that he was too selfish to win early in his career. And that would be some dude writing that in the paper. There wasn't 24/7 news cycles. You know, when that was like a Sports Center would come out, it was like, whoa, what is this program? Now there's 700 million people talking every day on TV and the radio, not to mention social media where everybody has a voice, which didn't exist. So we don't know how any of those guys would have handled that because they didn't have to handle that. Let's go to, is it ID in Ottawa, Canada? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
What's going
Thanks
on, man?
Me on. I'm doing well. Love the show. Love the show a lot. And I just want to make two quick points. The first one is, I think you meant, I don't think you meant to do this, but it sounded like you did, you know, throw some shade around Toronto when you said, you know, the Golden State Warriors were now, you know, top of the league. You corrected yourself, said it was the Bucks, and then you said Toronto, but you know what I mean, kind of thing. Kind of just like seemed as if, you know, it threw some shade on Toronto, right? And I just don't want people to continue to do that because Toronto's a great market, Toronto's a great team, you know, and it seems like, you know,
I think Toronto's one of the five best destinations in the NBA. Like, if you were telling me like five or six places I could pick to play, you know, the only downside's the cold, and I can't imagine it's too much colder than it is here. No, I didn't mean anything by that. All I said was I was looking at the Warriors' record to give a frame of reference for the season and all the struggles we talked about. And then, like, I was like, lo and behold, they have – and I was quickly looking at it thinking they might have had the best record in the NBA. Then I looked up at the East and I realized the Bucks had a better record, and then also the Raptors had a slightly better record. So I was just correcting myself. The Raptors are 34 and 13. The Warriors are 32 and 14.
All right, listen, that's my bad. But on the second point is about, you know, we're talking about Belichick and New England. Mm-hmm. I think, listen, man, if the team is going to lose, I'm not a fan of the Patriots, but I don't want them losing at the divisional playoffs. I want them losing at the Super Bowl, you know, because if they lose during the playoffs, it's not going to sink in and hurt them as, you know, they will never really feel it. But if they gotta lose at the play, you know, Super Bowl, and then so, you know, for everybody else, and like, you know, just let's get together, those of us that don't like the Patriots, and just root for the other team, and let's make it this year, and make them lose at the play, you know, lose it.
Here's the thing with the Patriots: a win or a loss does nothing for them. Nothing. There's no stakes for the Patriots. What does a win do? They're still the greatest we've ever seen. What does a loss do? They're not the greatest we've ever seen anymore because they made it to another Super Bowl. That's garbage. There's only one person this weekend who I think has stakes. Right? Like, are there stakes for the Saints? Not really. I mean, Drew Brees has a chance to elevate himself. He has a chance to make him, you know, like, I think a second ring for Drew Brees, what that does is put him in another echelon of the conversation where everyone would consider Brees an all-time great and a Hall of Famer, but I don't know if anybody actually considers Brees arguably the best ever or on the short list of the best ever. And I think winning again might do that for him in combined with this season. You know, Sean Payton already considered a great coach. He could help himself, but can't really hurt himself. So I don't think there's any real stakes for the Saints. I don't think there's any stakes at all for the Patriots, win or lose. I don't think it matters. I don't really think there's stakes for the Rams. There's made up stakes. There's people going like, look at these coaching hires and Sean McVay hasn't even won a Super Bowl. Like, Sean McVay just started coaching them like 2 years ago. What are people talking about? Did anyone give a damn about the LA Rams a couple of years ago? No. Now all of a sudden they're relevant. So they've already, they're playing with house money as far as I'm concerned. The only person who I think has stakes is Andy Reid, who likes stakes, I would imagine. The only person who I think has stakes is Andy Reid. Because what are you smiling at, Andy?
It's the conference championship. What do you mean? There's no such thing as house money here you're at your conference championship weekend.
Sure.
You don't know if you're going to be back here again.
No, you don't. You're right. You don't. But I'm not going to judge. Is Sean McVay a failure if the Rams don't win?
No, of course not.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Not his second season.
All right. That's exactly what I said. The only person who I think has stakes is Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid is one of the best coaches ever. You know, the non-Belichick division, he's in there. And if he wins and culminates his career with a championship, he puts himself on a whole nother level. And if he doesn't, fair or not, and I think it's mostly not fair, I just want Andy Reid to not coach afraid. That's the only thing that matters. Don't coach afraid. Don't mess up the time management. And it'll be in good shape as far as I'm concerned. But I think he's truly the guy with the most stakes because he's got Patrick Mahomes now. He's got home field advantage. He has the team that everybody loved all year.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Yes! Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm back! Like I never left. Because I didn't. Because I've been here since 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Let's go to Grayson in Lafayette, Louisiana. Grayson, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Robin?
What's going on, Grayson?
I got a quick question. I've heard a lot about the NBA, but let's put that on the sideline until the NFL is over with because, you know how it goes, NBA, But for now, I'm hearing a lot of Kansas City on your side. I want to know about your Saints because this is where we are. First of all, we went to it in 2009 after Katrina, and now we're going through it after the death of Tom Benson with Gil taking over.
So. Can we not compare those two things, please? Thank you. I mean, like, no disrespect to anyone who's dead, but I just don't think those two things are comparable as stories attached to the Saints run. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, okay. That being said, obviously sounds like you're a Kansas City fan.
No.
No?
No. My favorite team in the NFL is whoever I bet on. But I like watching Kansas City play. I mean, I think they're really good, but no, I'm not a fan.
Well, even that being said, I listened to the show. I think there is a thing with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, but I think Drew Brees is he's something in the closet. I mean, he finds a way to always.
Some up his sleeve. I think, Drew Brees is a good player. the Saints. I haven't really touched much on the Saints-Rams game. In fairness, I think that's because the other game is far more interesting and far more people care about, right? That's fair to say. The Chiefs and the Patriots is by far the headliner to the Saints-Rams being the undercard. Anthony, you're a big fight fan, right? The Saints-Rams is clearly the undercard, right?
That's the big one, Pats, Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
That's why it's night game, second game.
Sure, of course. I mean, you could tell by the scheduling, but sometimes there's not as much a difference. I think there's a huge difference this week because you've got the star of the NFL this season in Patrick Mahomes going up against the team of the NFL in the New England Patriots. It doesn't really get any better than that for them. The other game, I'll make my picks coming up at the top of the hour, but it's tougher for me to definitively get a handle on that, and I'll express the one reason I'm leaning with one team over the other in a minute, but I want to get your NFL picks right now. 855-212-4227. How about Steve in Daytona, Florida? Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, man. Hey, I think you're right. I mean, clearly the Patriots-Chiefs game is the game, you know, the higher watched or higher anticipated game. But from a pure football perspective, I believe that the more interesting lineup is going to be the Saints defense, because if you line up offense to offense, Rams and Saints are both, you know, known to be the two NFC powerhouses. Everybody already knew the Rams defense was what it was. I think Peters is slacking a little bit, as everybody knows. They're saying Talib's going to be going up against their number one, Michael Thomas. But the biggest thing I think is, like I said, it's going to be the Saints defense and how well they match up. I mean, I think the Rams are in trouble if they had one of their highest producing games on the ground. And I know the Cowboys defense was ranked fifth overall, but for them not to put up more than 30 points when they controlled the time the way they did, if they don't put up at least 40 against the Saints, I think they're going to have a problem. Now, a little side note real quick. You said something on the last segment. You said that the Brooklyn Nets haven't really had any good seasons or haven't ever been in a position. Go back and look at 2000 to 2003, man. They had Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin.
That's the New Jersey Nets.
Dan Horn. I mean, they were.
That's the New Jersey Nets.
500.
That's the New Jersey Nets.
I thought that's what you said, the Nets.
I said the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets, New Jersey Nets, same difference, man.
Well, I draw a bit of a distinction. I think my point remains the same in that they've never been thought of as a franchise of that ilk, right?
True,
and they've never had like a guy. That was a very good team, and I mentioned Jason Kidd when I talked about them. They went to the back-to-back finals before they got smoked by the Spurs and the Lakers. I mean, I'm very familiar with the team, but I don't think that many people cared about them on a national basis. What's that?
I'm sorry. Do you think John Wall should leave Washington with Ariza and Beal and Durant? That'd be a nasty threesome, man.
I want no parts of John Wall. I want no parts of John Wall. John Wall is a tough contract to trade. I don't know how much value he has. Bradley Beal is a better player and a better teammate than John Wall. That's a bit of an albatross contract right now. I don't know if he has any trade value. And if I was another team, I wouldn't be looking to acquire John Wall at this point. Let's go to, is it Jamathan in Dallas? You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. Or is your name Jamathan? Jamathan, what's up, Jamathan? Jamathan, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's going on, dude? How are you?
Doing pretty great, ain't you, so?
Not bad, man. What's going on?
Hey, my thing is, with Durant going to Brooklyn, it'll be great, but he'll want out of there soon. I don't think he'll want to stay there too long. they don't really have nobody over there. Not for Durant. I think Durant want to stay somewhere on the West Coast. So even if he went over there and just be like, hey, I'm going over here to play with LeBron, they're still going to consider him the same. Hey, you went to another team that's, I mean, they're not like the Golden State Warriors, but him playing with LeBron.
So you think he's going to the Lakers? Is that what you're saying?
I would like for him to go to the Lakers and play with LeBron, and then they'll give him an opportunity to face his old teammate there, Draymond, if Draymond is still in Golden State at that time. I feel he'll be traded sometime. But that's how I really feel. I feel Draymond will be traded, and then I also feel – well, hey, that I feel that I just feel Draymond will be traded. I don't think he'll be there too long.
Well, I think they're going to have an issue with Draymond in his next contract, that's for sure. Look, I don't know Kevin Durant at all. I have no idea what he's going to do. All I did was make a case on what I would do if I were him and what would be an appealing option to me based on what's going on in Brooklyn right now, which I do think is the best story in sports. It's sort of the, you know, I wouldn't call it like a true underdog tale like I was mocking up with the Patriots. Not exactly that, but to get out of the situation they were in and to, you know, make themselves a desirable spot, that's a lot of work that went into doing that. And it's also when people are talking about seeing a team, quote unquote, play the right way and play together and be more than as a team, be more than they are as individuals. You're seeing that with Brooklyn right now. Then that's a real cool story that's going on in the NBA. It's, you know, not quite the mighty underdog New England Patriots who defied all the odds to get here, but I guess it would be second to that. I'm going to make fun of that for forever, basically, at this point. New England and what went on there this week with them being cast as underdogs. But back to their game, because I do think that's the game everybody cares about. I think the most stakes are there for the coach on the other side, Andy Reid, because think about what Andy Reid could accomplish here if he's the best Bill Belichick. Head-to-head. You know, if the Chiefs come out and really win that game going away, and they do it on some of the designs that they've done it on all year, I think that'd be a real feather in his cap, because I said before the year, like, you know, sometimes you get predictions wrong and sometimes you get them real right. You know, I thought I was real right when everybody was saying the Lakers were going to struggle. And I said, you know, it's LeBron. Watch where they wind up. I thought I was real right on the Amari Cooper situation when that trade went down. I was not with the chorus of people. I said, that's a good trade to me. And before the season, I said Patrick Mahomes is going to be the breakout star of the NFL. And the reason I said that was not because necessarily only Patrick Mahomes. Because to be honest with you, I was not intimately familiar with Patrick Mahomes. I'd seen bits and pieces of him. I mean, it's not like I'd never seen him play, but I was not. It's not like I followed his career either. And I was watching, you know, Texas Tech games religiously. That's not why I thought that. The reason I thought that was because the Chiefs were ready to move on from Alex Smith. I mean, what are the Chiefs? I know they haven't had exactly the great playoff success, but they've had these runs where they're winning a bunch of games in a row. They've been in the mix every year. They'd had a chance to. It says a lot to me when a team that was, I think it was fair to say the Chiefs were a contender-ish team. When that team decides, you know, we're going to make a change at quarterback. We're ready to go to the other guy. And then I look back at Andy Reid and his track record with quarterbacks. You know, obviously, Donovan McNabb had success with Andy Reid. Remember what happened with Michael Vick? When he came back into the league, that first year in Philadelphia, he tore it up with Andy Reid. You remember someone by the name of Kevin Cobb? A lot of people might not remember Kevin Cobb, but he had, you know, a year in Philadelphia that was counter to what you would think. So, I mean, you look at some of these guys and way they've performed beyond expectations. I'm sort of joking about the last one. But Michael Vick and what happened with him and some of the other quarterbacks that Andy Reid has worked with in the past. And I thought to myself, all right, Andy Reid clearly knows quarterbacks, clearly has worked well with quarterbacks. And you take that. And you take that in combination with the fact that they were on the precipice of competing for a Super Bowl with Alex Smith, who is the definition of solid at quarterback the last couple years, and they decided, you know what? No, we're ready to just make a full change at quarterback. We're going with Mahomes. And then I had seen enough of Mahomes where I was like, all right, he's got talent. He's definitely got a lot of talent. Somebody who knows quarterbacks, somebody who is willing to risk what was a good team, and you throw in a talented quarterback, I was pretty sure that it was going to work out and that Mahomes was going to burst on the scene this year, which obviously he did. So now Andy Reid's in a position where he's got everything he needs. You know, you're not such a great coach off of bye weeks if you're not a great coach. Andy Reid, that's one of the things about him. If you give him extra time to prepare, he's going to win every time. Well, doesn't that tell you he's good at coaching? And for all the knocks about losing in the NFC Championship game, a lot of teams not playing in the NFC Championship game. Can't have playoff failures if you're not in the playoffs. So I think a loss this weekend would be a real bummer for him, especially if it happens in any sort of embarrassing fashion by some decision he makes at home. It would kind of solidify his reputation as a great coach, but maybe not the coach you're trusting at this moment. While a win would exorcise a lot of demons, especially over Belichick. And I'll tell you whether I think he's going to get that done or not coming up next. I'll give you my picks for this weekend coming up next. But to me, nobody that's playing this weekend has more at stake. Well, he's not playing this weekend. Andy Reid couldn't play. Nobody who's involved this weekend has more at stake than Andy Reid. Do you agree with that? 855-212-4227. Who you got? Saints or Rams? Pats or Chiefs? 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it is here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.